Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with J&J, 92.9 FM ESPN on a Wednesday hump day. We're getting through it. We are getting through it. Welcome to the Wednesday, November 19th edition of the J&J Show. I am joined by my brother, my partner, John Martin. He does it all. I could go on, and I have at times. I won't do it today. I'm just happy you're here. Brad Carson, he's here as well.
Good to see you.
Our boss. And executive producer of this show. Good to see you as well. Guys, I'm all about getting to the business, as you know.
Yes, sir.
That's what I like. I like business. Getting down to the nitty-gritty. Cut through the fat stuff. You know what I'm saying? Stop beating around the bush. That's what we do here. It's what we're going to continue to do. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get straight to the point.
Mm-hmm.
No closer. No closer. Said put us up. Reggie Miller's got to get a new nickname for Cedric Coward. Don't call him the Coward. Don't do that. So keep working on it, Reggie. And when he hit that three, put the Grizz back up, I said, here we go. John, tell him what happened the rest of the way.
Nothing happened the rest of the way.
A zero. Like, didn't score again. John is accurate, as usual. And then what happened on the other end? John, who was going off against Jaren Jackson Jr. on the other end? Who was it? Was it some new player in this league? Some new phenomenon? Who was that was throwing them running hooks?
Quite the opposite. It was Harry B.
Did we identify him yesterday? Was he one of the names that we said?
I think we would have had, because we said.
Still had our doubts.
You know, the former Kings on the roster with De'Aaron and Harrison.
But we had our doubts because Harrison Barnes is old.
He's very old.
Man, cooked Jaren, who also went 0 of 6 in the fourth quarter. Closer. So that's where we are. Guys, it's 9 of 10 that we've lost. What you expect us to come in here to do? Play highlights?
Let him cook.
It's hard.
We'll play some highlights for Harrison Barnes.
If you want to play highlights of first three quarters last two games, now we can do that.
Oh, hell
but
yeah.
But we don't do moral victories around here.
I love three-quarter games.
Can't score in the fourth.
Hell no.
We've combined for 30 in the last two fourth quarters.
Enjoy this day, because we are soon going to get to a point where we are no longer even breaking them down. I mean, yes. I love my guy. I really do. His name is Paka Flocka on Twitter. He is the most relentlessly optimistic human being I've ever seen on Twitter. The Grizzlies are losing by a billion, and my guy is like, oh, there's things to take out of this. You know, the nuke is in the air. Russia has pushed the button. And my guy Paka Flocka is like, well, you know, there's ways out of this, you know. We're getting to a point where you can break all the schematics down, and you can say, "Well, this guy should be playing more, and this guy should be playing more." But this team stinks. This team stinks, and there's really two big reasons for it. One of them wasn't playing last night, and the other wasn't playing last night. Actually, as it turns out, in the fourth quarter, he was out there in body, but not in mind or spirit. So we'll get into all of that today. But again, I'm calling the shot. This is going to be one of the final days of this Grizzly season where we're actually coming in and breaking down schematics. Because I think, like you said, Jason, we're going to be on to that lottery simulation every day. I think we should start every show with the lottery simulation, very soon. Maybe we'll start that in the new year in 2026. But
I was trying to see Peterson last night. He was sitting on the bench.
Yep, he ain't playing either.
Nah.
Cam Boots. We
got
playing.
Hamstring. What's he? Okay, yeah. John put the quotes around. And y'all know what that means. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're on camera, sometimes we're not. I just don't know. But yeah. Very strange deal there with Darren Peterson at Kansas. Didn't play against Duke last night. Cam Boozer played last night. I mean, there's lots of players that are that I think could be exciting for the Grizzlies in this draft. Obviously, if you get into the top three, much different level of excitement.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, I haven't watched DeBanista yet. You have.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Okay.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Let's have that conversation at some point.
I mean, you want to go there? I mean, that's –
Dude, I mean, I will say there are some stars in college basketball this year. That Duke team is loaded. If you just want to talk about college basketball there at the top, obviously that a conversation right now is not going to include Memphis. But there are some stars out there. You know, whereas last year it felt like Cooper Flagg was the one guy, we've all said it. It seems like there's three of those dudes, at least in college basketball, and a little more, and a little bit more. I mean, Cam's brother, what's he playing, point guard for Duke? Are you watching this?
Yeah.
Pretty solid.
Yeah.
What's his name? Other Boozer.
Caden.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I like that Duke team.
But Cam is the main draw there. So
imagine if it had Coward on it.
I mean, seriously.
He was
going
to get $3 million to do that.
Instead, he's making NBA three-pointers in the final, 3 minutes of a game.
He's the most exciting Grizzlies player to watch right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. No question even. It's not even close.
And if Paka was talking about that, I co-sign. Block.
I love Paka. Let me be clear about it. I love him.
Yeah,
I love
how a stray there.
No, it wasn't really a stray. It wasn't meant as a stray.
You mean get out of this season? There's no getting right because getting out of this maybe next year and the year after we talked about that.
Yeah, there's
that's part of the shift to tank.
I'm not saying the entirety of the franchise
coming out of it this year. Coming out of 4-11. Right. Which yes, I think we both have our probably yeah.
Edie helps.
Doubts ain't even the word.
But yeah.
Oh, Edie has helped them defensively. Yes. But again, is it the day to pick out positives
after
another L?
And again, I respect
that. Get a win over Sacramento. We can go positive.
Look, everybody has a different style of coaching, right? Coaching? Yeah. Paka Flocka, he's the coach that wants to pat you on the butt. You had a bad shooting night. Hey, there were still things to take out of that, right? I'm like Chris Beard. I'm going to come out and I'm going to say, hey, here are my starters who only won by 7 against Austin Peay. That's what he did last night. That's how he introduced him. He's like, hey, don't ask me any questions. Here are my starters who could only beat Austin Peay by 7. Here they are. That's how I coach. I'm a harsh critic.
Yeah.
I don't want to focus on the positives. I want to focus on all the negatives that you inevitably have put forth. And that's exactly – the Grizzlies gave us a lot of material, I got to tell you. And they've continued to do that. Across this season. So we'll talk about that today here on the show. We're in a tropical depression right now in Memphis sports. There's no question about it. An extended one.
Is it sunny in the Bahamas?
No.
Okay.
Not for us. I mean, it's sunny for Purdue.
Well, I was just wondering, maybe down there there's a little, eye in the storm and for the Tigers
pull
off something miraculous tomorrow.
Yeah. Yes.
The storm extends from there up to here and over most of Memphis sports.
Currently on the Robinhood sports prediction market app, the Tigers are have a 3% chance of winning the game. It's early, but
yeah, I'm thinking about it.
I didn't think it'd be that low, but it probably should be.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yes, we'll get into that. There's nowhere to run and there's nowhere to hide, and that's the way it is, okay, in Memphis sports in 2025, this particular season. All right, Norton Hurd IV is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about all this, get his thoughts on, what Memphis basketball needs to do to look more competitive, to try to fix this season. And then at 1:25, we're going to be joined by Steven Ruiz from The Ringer. We're going to switch some gears, talk some NFL and quarterbacks with him at 1:25. How about the rise for Caleb Williams? How about the fall for Geno Smith? How about all the in-between? Matt Stafford.
Don't waste a question asking about Geno.
Stafford.
I beg of you. Don't waste his time asking about Geno, who I'm sure is at the bottom of his rankings.
Yeah.
I mean, he should be at the very bottom.
We'll get into all of that today on the show.
Bryce Young's resurgence.
Bryce Young's a great one.
I'd like to ask Mr. Ruiz about that.
How about Lamar, who's always number one for some reason? It's time to take him off that perch.
I saw that. This would be the time to have him down.
Yes.
Yes.
So kind of eager to ask him about that, too.
I mean, I think he just has him there. As
body of work still matters. It's not just, you know, sort of where you are right now, I think, in those ranks. Because if you look, Bryce hadn't moved up.
Bryce has not really moved up, yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
I mean, he's coming off a franchise. Whereas I think we see something different. You know, the trajectory looks like it's going up.
Yes.
I thought he... Anyway, very interesting set of rankings.
Very much
to
so.
Dive into with him.
Very much so. So
Caleb's not all that high.
That is the show today.
And maybe he shouldn't be.
Grizz Beat, thanks for being here.
Yeah. 3 p.m. today.
3 p.m. today. You know... I mean,
navigating our way through this thing.
We're all navigating... You know, I think we all have to have things to look forward to.
Now, there are some positives that will likely be discussed, as you know.
Absolutely.
Because we have to do an hour.
Right? Exactly.
So you can jump off at any point, jump
right.
over here to Tigers basketball.
That's right.
We are on the Grizz.
That's right. And in the end, you know, it is the media arm of the Memphis Grizzlies.
Well, yeah. Yes.
I'm not saying that you compromise your integrity. Okay. But I do think there is like, all right, we got to say something.
Well, I mean, let's be real, because it's been like a, what are we talking about? Like a revelation in terms of now, at least you can see some semblance of 100%. Defense. Zach Edey back in the lineup.
That's a good one.
Thank God we can start there.
Yes.
So, you know, if you're looking for those, and why wouldn't you be? This is awful. Like, you know, who likes walking around miserable and all this stuff and saying, when's it ever going to end? You know, you're looking for some hope in this thing. I mean, lost 9 of 10. And Zach Edey, to his credit, has gotten back and looked the part and made them a better team defensively. I think they've only given up, I didn't intend to go all into this, but two quarters were, you know, more than 30 points in the last 8. And it's against Cleveland, San Antonio. I realize San Antonio's down a couple of big players there. But that's an improvement off what was happening. When you had, I mean, just a few games ago, Islo's having to question effort at all. So just,
yep.
Yes, Zach Edey has come back. He's been fantastic. It's lifted some things. It's still the same. We can't ask him to fix everything.
No.
But rebounding all that, yeah, you look a lot better now.
Yes.
With Zach Edey out there. Hopefully it's part of the way out.
Well, I mean, I think, we can do this. We can. I'm not saying it's a game, but we can play it. There's two things right now that I feel like give me optimism about the Grizzlies writ large, not today, not tomorrow, but just generally.
Yes.
Zach Edey coming back and Cedric Howard.
Those are the
two things right now that are giving me like...
Coward's worth celebration. Zach Edey's return is worth celebration.
Yes.
It's hard to do when you've lost 9 of 10, 5 straight, but those two and their efforts, certainly Coward's, it's been so consistent. Now,
yes.
As a starter,
yes.
is worthy of praise. It's a double-double for this kid.
I mean,
19-11 last night.
Absolutely. He was fantastic, and he hit a big three there late in the game to give the Grizzlies the lead.
Yes, the lead. Put it back. That was the last points they scored, unfortunately, right? There's about 3 minutes left.
We're talking about the first 15 games of the young man's career. He's been the closer basically since the season started, and he's at a point now, and this team's at a point now, where I trust Cedric Cowher taking that shot as a rookie more than I do Jaren Jackson Jr., who's in year 8. I would rather the offense go through Cedric in the last 2 minutes than Jaren. And that's just, you know, and again, that probably says more about Jaren than it does Cedric, but it also does speak to the, you know, rapid pace that Cedric is sort of picking all of this up.
Yeah.
And so I do think that has been fantastic to see. And that gives you some like, all right, if we have to push a button here, there's a foundation.
I'm with you. Two things on this. With Jaren, you tried. He goes 0-6 in the fourth. Like that, you need him to be the closer. Ja's off the floor. He's the number one option, and it wasn't happening. And so, obviously, for a guy that you said, okay, well, now Edey's back, right? That's, you know, you've got the center back. He's going to be more comfortable, hopefully, on both ends of the floor. You wanted Jaren to close that game out for you. He can't.
Yeah.
And so, there's Cedric Cowher taking big shots. And how about... You know, right there, making Cedric Howard making a fan of Reggie Miller, of him. I mean, Reggie's going nuts about him. And I think most of the folks that were watching for the Grizzlies, it was all about anybody that hadn't watched him this season, what this young man can do. You see him go sky for a rebound, comes down on the other end, smart enough to run a little offense to Vince. Defense goes away. Vince gets a right three-pointer.
Yep.
Like, there's nothing he can't do. He can attack the rim and everything else. This isn't to start to get to, oh, man, let's go build this thing around Cedric Cowher. But, wow, it's unfortunate it's happening, right, in such, you know, dark circumstances.
Yep.
You know, some of it probably isn't happening, if not for the opportunity that's been available
yep.
because of guys being down.
No, for sure.
But it's a lot like Jalen Wells last year. You know, he got thrown to the fire because of injuries of guys ahead of him. Vince Williams, you know, set back. You talk about Marcus Smart being in and out. And Cedric Howard has done what Jalen Wells did, but to a whole nother level that makes you start to think about.
Yep.
My gosh, he does look like maybe a tent pole, as Jeff calls, you know, the two pillars.
Right.
Like that. Maybe you got a third tent pole. Maybe it's a tent. Maybe it's the tent pole. That's been fun to watch. It's unfortunate, again, that it's happening. You know, that Cedric Howard, you're relying on him to be the closer, to bring this back around.
Yes.
There with 3 minutes left. And you go scoreless the rest of the way. Because Cedric Howard's not supposed to be doing that in the end.
That's correct.
It should be Jaren Jackson Jr.
That's
with
correct.
No John Morant on the floor. He's going 0-6.
Yeah, that's the good, and that's the bad. Like for me, I came in here, I did my diatribe about Jaren Jackson Jr. Did it last, you know, as long as yours on Silverfield? No, it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I could if you needed me to, but I don't think you need that for me. I think he just continues to prove and show that, and this is the unfortunate piece of it, this theory that we held, this hypothetical that, you know, Ja and Jaren are your two best players, and that's going to get you to where you want to go and be a contender, like, the game has passed. The game has passed that idea by, in my view, for a variety of reasons, and I'm not putting it all on Jaren. I mean, Ja's got some culpability in that as well. But this is when a guy who you're paying $49 million to for the next 2 years comes in and elevates, right? Ja's out. You're the next max guy. Let's go, man. Let's average 25 a game. This is your moment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's close a game. Let's close a winnable game without Victor Wembanyama on the road at San Antonio in a real slide, like max desperation. And he had an absolutely horrific fourth quarter. On both sides. I mean, 0-6, like you said, from the floor, but also was getting absolutely fried by Harrison Barnes.
Right. How about closing on that end?
Yes. I mean, you're at least a defensive player of the year.
That's the one thing we hold up about Jaren. Well, at least, right, he's special defensively.
Absolutely.
Former defensive player of the year.
Yes.
You can't stop and close down on the defensive end Harrison Barnes at the end of that game.
Yeah.
There's no Wimby out there, no Castle.
Yep.
That's an easier job. It's Harrison Barnes, John.
Yep.
How are we not stopping him in year 8? How's he cooking us? That's your man.
And one shot is one thing, right? But it was a run.
It was a Harrison. I think Harrison was 7 points of that 11-0 run to end the game. Pretty sure it was his first seven that did it.
Yes.
And a couple of those buckets at least were right there on Jaren. So my point is, that's our guy. That's our closer on the defensive end.
Right.
You've asked him offensively to do it with no Jaren. He's 0-6. At least get it done there.
Right.
And so that's not getting it done on both ends, to your point.
Yes.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, because I would
unacceptable.
Ask, okay, he doesn't shoot well from three. He's not really a scorer. He doesn't rebound. He doesn't defend nearly as well as he did anymore. Why is he being paid $49 million a year? Like, why is Jaren Jackson Jr. a max player?
Yeah.
Because when I look at his game, and I know I haven't really heard from many Jaren supporters recently, but I'm sure they would say, well, the coaching style and this, that, and the other. And say, okay, well, explain how it impacts him detrimentally on the defensive end then. Fine. I don't agree with it. I don't think he was ever that guy offensively, but fine. I'll grant you that one. Explain the drop-off defensively, because at the very least, that was supposed to be what we hung this whole deal on, which is, all right, fine, he'll be an elite defender. But he's really not been that. He gets to the postseason and gets bodied by Alex Caruso. He is not a riser in any way, shape, or form. He hasn't risen in the postseason. He hasn't risen without Ja, you know, and he needs a five-man before he can start to feel like himself again. So, why is Jaren Jackson a max player? I'm worried about his value now, because somebody else is going to look at that deal and they're going to say, damn, $49 million I got to pay for that? It's going to be just as hard to move him, I feel like, because the rest of the league sees that drop off as well.
Well, what you found out, and Zach Kleiman acknowledged it was likely going to be he's the one that pushed the button, but when you trade Desmond Bain, the flaws of your two pillars are more further exposed.
They're magnified.
No question about it. And that's where you are now. Jaren, after an improved effort against Cleveland, a lot of it, I think, because Zach's out there, you saw him drop right back off last night. That can't happen. I think a lot of it, John, you're talking about where's the defensive effort. I think when Jaren's not rolling offensively, it's what tends to happen.
Yep.
When he's 0-6 from the floor in the fourth quarter, I think that defense just the engagement level and what he drops off. I think it's just natural for him. We've seen it throughout his career.
Yep.
It can't happen, especially when you're at the point that you are, you know, right now as a franchise, as an organization, 15 games in. You needed that game last night with them shorthanded and you out-rebounding them. You owned them on the glass and everything else. Not Jaren specifically. What, do you have six?
Yep.
But in terms of second chance, my point was the opportunity was there because San Antonio was shorthanded inside and you could not take advantage of it. You needed a closer. You know, there were points last year where Jaren was doing that with Ja off the floor. And again, you have to wonder, that wasn't Isolo's offense. Remember, that's the other thing. Is like, Jaren hasn't just yet found, even though, you know, he's taking more shots here with Ja off the floor, I don't know that he's comfortable in this because, what, like we've said, Isolo's offense doesn't feature. I'm just saying, up in Jaren's head.
Right.
You know, I still ain't happy. I'm kind of getting that vibe, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Now, so some of this, again, you're getting offensive fouls, hands up in the air all the time. You're always arguing with the officials, like, lock in. Get a stop in the fourth quarter. That's on a professional, as John said, getting 35 this year, starts at 49 next year, you're maxed. Like that, it can't be that way. And again, I would just bottom line it with, you decided to, when you backed off Bane, build it around these two, and these two have shown already this season that might have been a bad idea to bank it on them. Now, they've got flexibility.
They do.
In terms of, you know, being able to put different pieces around them, but I'm back to you. I'm wondering about flexibility on those two guys in terms of a trade value,
absolutely,
and everything else. Because I think the more Jaren goes out there and has games like this, we talked to Drew Hill last week. He said thought return would be pretty good on Jaren if we would kind of force Drew into that position. We talked so much about a return for Ja, but maybe that return ain't so great when you know you're seeing performances last night. I forget the 0-for-6 for me. It was the you can't slow down Harrison Barnes, bro. I need you to do that for
me. From all levels, by the way.
Yes.
It wasn't just threes. It was like he was driving in and, like you said, throwing it over Jaren.
Now, he needs somebody to create for him. You know, they don't have a point guard right now. Cam Spencer's getting targeted when he's out there on the defensive end.
But he had a wide open three, and he clanked it. He wasn't even close.
Just back somebody down, dude, to your point. You're going to get me back there on your, you know, in terms of how frustrating this is to watch.
Come on over, brother.
Back someone down in that game against San Antonio where there's nobody that's 7'3", 7'5", whatever he is, down there to block it. What are you talking about? This is your game.
Yeah.
I figured we would still get good Jaren last night. We got bad Jaren again.
Yeah.
Unacceptable at this point in his career.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to believe.
How many times can you say that?
It's hard to believe that Jaren is a two-time All-Star. I mean, I got to say, it just is. because he's nothing about his game feels like an All-Star to me. Like, it just doesn't, especially when you consider his averages in the postseason.
I thought Carmelo at halftime, you know, was kind of saying it. You mentioned that T-Mac went straight to Ja
after the game, which frustrated me to no end. After the game ends, they ask, they finally get to the Grizzlies, and Maria Taylor asks, all right, what do we need to see from Memphis? We talked about San Antonio. What do we need to see from Memphis? And T-Mac goes immediately to Ja Morant and says they got to evaluate Ja and figure out where they're going with him, which is fine, but Ja wasn't playing last night. They could have won that. They were leading with 3 minutes left in that game without Ja Morant. Ja Morant was not the story last night. Sure, not having a point guard, not him being out there is a negative, but that was about the Grizzlies not executing offensively with a two-time All-Star out there. Who, for whatever reason, gets in these moments and absolutely fades.
Again, I think part of it's he's not comfortable in this offense that isn't supposed to feature big guys like him.
Right.
Big guys like him are supposed to be screening.
Right.
That part of that's on Isolo and figuring out a way, but the majority of this is on Jaren because it's been all season long. Whenever you've been the two option, you've been the one option.
Right.
And we've seen you in out on all of it.
This is unfortunately what tends to happen in Memphis, right? In a small market, you have to pay a guy who really is a third option, like a two, and a guy who's a second option, like a one. Like you just have these guys out of what they really should be because you have to pay them to get them.
The DPOY certainly helped Jaren.
In terms
of maxing out.
Absolutely, because you knew that, like, offensively, you know what his numbers have been. Like, he hasn't been a great 3-point shooter the last 4 years of his career. So you knew at some point, like, that's just not where you're going to get the most out of him. But the fact that the Grizzlies are worse right now net rating when he's on the court, or at least they're better when he's off the court, right? And that's just, like, unacceptable for a guy that you're paying $49 million a year to starting next year. Like, it's just,
I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was a miscalculation by the Grizzlies front office to think that it could work with Isolo and that they could pay him and it could all be hunky-dory, whatever, but this is a mess. This is a true mess. And if Ja goes, Jaren needs to go. Like that to me is like, if you come to that conclusion, do not try to build around Jaren Jackson. He's not the last of the, you know, like he needs to go too. It needs to be a complete and total tear down and rebuild because he ain't it either. He's done a great job of avoiding any real criticism. It feels like nationally to me, like, because again, I made this point to you last night on text. T-Mac, after the game, goes immediately to a dude that wasn't even playing in the game.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say, is I thought Carmelo was sort of onto it, but they didn't spend any time on it,
right,
to your point. But Carmelo was saying, despite T-Mac telling him, well, Jaren's taking the most shots for the team. And he said, you got to be more aggressive.
Easily.
And it was obvious, but you don't see NBA folks very often, those types, criticizing Jaren. It
Ever.
Goes to John's point, it talks about, they go straight to Ja. That's the talking point. Now, a lot of that's because, you know, that's who's going to,
right,
you know, Ja talk is what's going to move the meter. But, no, I mean, Jaren should be held up right now as a guy who's underperforming,
right,
for where he is in his career, what he's being paid. So
like the guy that's right above.
He has protection.
They actually make the same amount of money. And I think this is a great example. De'Aaron Fox last night, he's making $49.8 million next year, right? No Wimby last night. Mm-hmm. So guess what? De'Aaron Fox has to step up. He has 22 points in the second half, finishes with 26. You know, and obviously he wasn't the reason why they won the game late. That was more about Harrison Barnes. But the point is, it's like, all right, when the top or one of the top options is out for the Spurs, the $49.8 million man does his job and scores 26 points, right? You look at this list, every single one of these guys, if they're, first of all, the guys who are ahead of Jaren are not number two options. Except with the exception of De'Aaron Fox. That's the other thing. I guess if you want to count Jamal Murray. But if Jokic misses, Jamal Murray is not going to have 14 points on 3 of 15 shooting. Like, he's going to probably have 30. Mm-hmm. You know, all these guys, when Jaylen Brown's making 57, he's carrying the team right now. You know? Like, when you start talking about, okay, you're paid top 20 money, but you can't even step up. I mean, you got outscored by a rookie. I mean, like, that's the problem fundamentally with me, with Jaren, to me, is that he doesn't rise up. He doesn't rise up at all. But he's paid to do that. So it's an underperformance. And I think that leaves the Grizzlies in a really weird, awkward spot with him, because what do you do? What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it was a sad loss last night. Winnable. I mean, it was a winnable game. You would say you're leading with 3 minutes left.
Well, you got a bunch of winnable games coming up. That's the point. If you don't get through this and sort of come out of this, it's 5 in a row. It's 9 of 10. If you don't come out of this against the Sacramentos, the Dallases, the New Orleans, get Sacramento twice in the next 6 games, then close the book.
Yep. Absolutely.
You're gonna be too far buried. You're already 4 and 11. Yep. So again, there should be at least four wins in that six, with Sacramento twice, Dallas, and New Orleans.
Yep.
Those teams are beneath you right now. I guess Dallas technically tied, but you've already showed you can beat them. I know you're down Ja. You know Vince Williams, by the way, played well last night, being asked to do something he shouldn't in terms of being the point guard, but is faring well in terms of trying to hold that down. Still, you know, you saw it at the end.
Yep.
No closer. So with 4 of the 6 on the road, you know, they're losable, even though they're against bad opposition.
Yep.
But better come through this in some sort of way, kind of balance back out as best you can, or else folks will be checking out.
Absolutely. All right, we'll talk to Norton Hurd IV about all of this, get his thoughts on the Tigers matchup against Purdue in the Bahamas this season so far. How can Penny fix it? We'll ask Norton Hurd when we get back. J&J, 90.9 FM. Yes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
His name is Coach Norton Hurd IV, Team Thad Program Director and Coach, Silver Wave Media's top 100 most influential people in men's college basketball, close friend of Bill Self, Mitchell High Product, and Walker Holmes Finest. Follow him on X at Dream Big Hurd. He's on IG at I Am Coach Hurd. Coach, how are you?
Man, I'm great, Jason. I appreciate the introduction, and you add new stuff every week, and the music is getting better, but I'm a good friend of Jason Smith, John Martin, Brad Carson, Penny Hardaway. I'm just a good friend of a lot of people, Thad Young. Yes, sir.
And a friend of Memphis. There is no question about it. Let me ask you something. Knowing how all Memphis you are, Hurd, what was the feeling? What was going on in your mind when Josh Pastner, the former Memphis coach, walked out of here with what? Double-digit win over Memphis on Sunday. What were you? How painful was that?
Ooh, well, me and Josh are really, you know, we're cool.
Y'all friends too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Josh, you know, Josh is a pretty good guy or whatever take you have on him or whatever. But at the end of the day, that day was about, you know, Memphis basketball. It was supposed to be a win. I'm kind of thankful that I'm on Wednesdays now and I could digest it a little bit because I probably wouldn't have been ready for Monday. That's kind of how it all I was on Sunday because I got to her kind of late, and I thought I was tripping when I kind of saw like a double digit, you know what I'm saying, we were down.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, that's usual. You know how these college kids, you come back. But then it started getting to 5 minutes, and, which is not funny, and three, and I'm like, this is potentially could be real. I just think it was a bad loss. I mean, I seen John – tweets and other people, and I think Penny would even admit itself, you know what I mean? Whenever I come, we in contact, he usually, you know, keep it real about stuff, and that's one thing he do at hold accountability. It was just a bad loss. It's one of the things you feel like you kind of at your low right now, but I do think with the next game is Purdue, right?
Yes. What are you about
that's
to say?
That's very scary.
It is.
That is scary.
He's right.
You kept it real.
Yeah, but hold on.
Here it comes.
What's up with John already, man? but it's really scary, right? But I think that people are so low on us now that game is going to be more competitive than people think after coming off of UNLV. Maybe we can be UNLV because, let's grant it, UNLV hadn't played great ball this year either.
No, they haven't. They haven't. No, you're right. I mean, I don't agree necessarily with what you're saying, but I understand where you're coming from. And because people basically think Memphis is going to get blown out by 50, right? So if they keep it, you know, a competitive game and it's a – you know, 12-point loss or something along those lines, right? It'll be looked at as, you know, there's maybe it's not as bad, you know, as we thought. And you know, look, I just think nothing has really changed for Memphis. The only thing that I think is going to be tough for them is that there's a real chance that they go into American Conference play with a below 500 record now. That's the mm-hmm. problem. You know, like they could be because, I mean, that's the downfall of having to play a tough schedule is that it's a tough schedule. And if you're not where you want to be as a team, you're just going to get your head cracked. I mean, they got to play Baylor. They got to play Vandy. They got to play Louisville. They got to play Purdue. They got to play Mississippi State. They got to go to Utah State in February. Now, that'll be a few months from now, but yeah, thank God. But they still got to do it. And they could, you know, Wake Forest, you know, if they lose to Purdue, most likely. So all those teams that I just – like, those are all really good teams for the most part. And that's going to be the part that I think Memphis fans will not be ready for is being under 500 going into American play.
No, I agree, John. And this is not a day I'm trying to take up anybody and be positive. You know, I'm always going to keep it real. But I, on the flip side, being a competitor, and on the flip side, the average fan will only look at wins and losses – But, man, whether we had a good team, bad team, I got to respect Penny for putting this schedule together. It's not too many people that would have done this. You know what I mean? And granted, we might come out on the L's this year, so people are like, what are you talking about? But, man, that's major because he knew coming in, too, that there's a chance that can happen. And a lot of people ain't willing – I mean, on all levels, John, Jason, and Brad, and listeners, middle school, high school, college, I didn't see it where guys try to fluff their schedule. You know what I'm saying? Like, who cares what y'all say? We're going to win our conference. We're going to play two okay games. I'm going to win 25, and I'm going to make the tournament. At the end of the day, y'all really can't challenge me. No, he went out, and his plan, arguably, I know, got to be one of the hardest, if not hardest, non-conference schedule. Now, the problem with it with being a coach, because I'm a coach, is when you're in a funk sometime or when certain pieces ain't rolling, that could take a minute and you don't have time to breathe with this schedule. So it's like it's tense. It's a very tense time right now. But, John, I actually think they are going to play pretty well against Purdue because everything against them. Right now, when you lost like you just lost, the kids got to listen to the coaches. Like, they usually have answers and their parents have answers. They don't have answers. They know they don't have them no more, right? So they have to listen to the coaches more. And John, they've been disrespected so bad for the Purdue game. I don't know what they're saying on the betting odds, but like on the regular street odds, you wasn't joking. People have said they think it's going to be a 40-point loss, like literally. You know, and so I think it might stay into single digits.
Hurt, if you were in Penny's shoes, you know, after this last game, he's saying that I gotta build around Thedford and Majak. That's how frustrated he was. But credit to Thedford and Majak in terms of the way they played. But his point was, I'm getting no effort from the other guys. We know that he's paid big to some of these guys, guys like Doug McDaniel, Aaron Bradshaw, Zach Davis, the SEC transfer. I'm curious, again, I love having you on and asking these kinds of questions because you know this NIL world. And you know that the motivations have changed. And so if you are Penny, what are you saying to those three in particular, right? They're getting the money. They've gotten what they've come here for. And I've heard Penny sort of saying that to the press. They got to find out what they're here for and play. Well, we know it's transactional. They're here for the money. Like, the Memphis basketball speeches aren't necessarily going to play with those guys because they're not Memphis basketball. They've been sort of hired for the job. So how do you motivate them, Hurt? As a coach, how do you get more out of those three when you know, I mean, you have to based on, you know, what you're paying them from an NIL standpoint. How do you motivate guys in this sort of world?
It's tough. If you're talking specifically about this team, I think Doug is going to be okay. I do think Doug is going to be okay. Bradshaw is tough, right? I'm not saying this to be mean, but the confidence level in probably the average fan is low and deserves it to be low, right? Because you really just can't see any flashes and you don't want to be hard on the guy, but you can't. And so a coach get paid to do what he do, but I'm going to be real. Penny is in a tough situation right now, guys, because some of the stuff I'm seeing, I don't know if you can change or how quickly you can change it. When you got Purdue coming up in Louisville, and these are not matchups that you really can play or sprinkle. These are not get your confidence back matchups. And some of them probably need some of those. Like, New Orleans is even hot right now, guys. I don't know if y'all see how they playing, and Master P is hyping their program up. So I do think Doug will be fine. I think we got to find our river. I've been telling y'all, like, Stafford King, I felt like he was a beast. He went in with no politics. So when you got a kid going with no politics, sometimes them be your hungrier guys, right? Now he looked like he's going to make a jump. But I just think Penn and them got to chip at it every day in practice, man. They got to come together because not that many people right now believe in them outside of that locker room. And they do really got talent. Those are not sorry guys, right? So they got to find something, like you said, to play for. I think the biggest elephants in the room, guys, I'm going to be real with you, when you give a certain amount of money, or not even just about money, when you give a certain confidence or you recruit a position and feel like this is going to be a 30-minute position like a Bradshaw, and it's extremely wrong, it's kind of hard to
huge
adjust
miss.
Because
Huge miss.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's
he could only play
10
minutes, to your point. They could only keep him out there 10 minutes in that last game against UNLV. Like, that's killing you, the fact that he's one of your highest paid guys and unplayable.
I mean, he's got to be top two. I mean, if, you know, I assume Doug probably got the most. I mean, it would not shock me, though, if Aaron got the – because he's a big, quote-unquote. So,
when they cost more.
Theoretically, but he's not actually at all. I think, like, you know, and again, I don't know what the hell happened. Maybe it's just like, you know, like you talked about grassroots, you know, you don't run
– Return of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah, you don't run
that's not him.
Super complicated stuff. But
it's a different dude than that five-star you saw hurt.
Yeah. You know, UT Martin is a program I've brought up a couple of times now because they have literally no money, right? They have no NIL. But that coach has a strategy of, all right, I'm going to go get nothing but guys that are European. And they don't know about NIL that much, or they don't care about NIL that much. Like, I'm just going to go get those guys, and I'm going to build it out that way. And they're 3-1, and they, you know, hung in there with Florida State for a good portion of that game yesterday. And so I'm using them as an example. Like, is this how it's going to have to be in terms of creativity for Memphis? Because they don't have $8, $10, $12, $15 million to work with. They're going to have to do something else. Is that a form of creativity that you think this being successful takes in 2025?
You definitely got to be creative, John. That guy at UT Martin, when I read and saw this story, man, I got to call him and give him number props, because the way he went about it to get those level of guys to come to UT Martin, you know, them kids couldn't know nothing about college. I know people who have, and I'm not taking the jab at them, who have went to UT Martin and has told me outside of the school, they think Martin, Tennessee is one of the boringest places ever, right? So to even get these people to come to a city like that, do great things, yep. I'm a kind of scared. And the problem we're going to have, John, I'm a kind of scared for him that the story has come out, because now I feel like with anything in life, the bigger money people
100%
about to take his strategy. So now he got to go do something else. If they see something working, now they finna tap into them things able to, whoever his plug is, finna get bought by Ohio State or whoever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're right. So you're right.
You got to come with the next book, but it was brilliant what he did. And, I don't know, guys. This is not a day that we can, unfortunately, be so prideful about Memphis basketball, but I'm still hopeful, and I think it's still something there. Because at the end of the day, guys, I know we hate to hear this. They're going to win the conference and go to the tournament. And when that happens, all bets are off at that point.
I do, but to be clear, I do not hate to hear that. I love to hear that. I need that to happen. I'm worried that this is going to be the hardest year for that to happen yet, though. Because again, it's early, but if you just take where this Memphis program is rated right now at KenPom at this point in the season, it's the worst Penny's ever had by 40 spots. Like, by 40 spots. Now, again, could they improve if they pull off the unthinkable against Purdue, et cetera? Sure, there's opportunities, but I mean the rating of this team is worse than Penny has ever had by a long shot at this time of the year.
But John, I agree, but look at it like this too, John. I know it's really, really hard right now to have high praise, but it's like a guy that's an entrepreneur, and he work a 9-to-5. The 9-to-5 is guaranteed. The automatic bid is guaranteed, John. It don't matter if you're 10-37, but if you win the conference, you're going to the – we're winning the conference. I'm just letting you know. I know we can get bleary-minded right now, but it's a big gap between Purdue and Louisville and Tulane and UAB. You feel what I mean? So we're going to win and go to the tournament. Yes. And whenever the bets – I don't know it as good as you and Jeffrey and Tim, because y'all do a great job. Whenever the odd makers say – that it's a bet that Memphis not going to the tournament, y'all call me. I want to make my first bet. They're going to the tournament. I want to put $1,000 on it. Yes, they're going to the tournament. So I know that we're not pleased that we're not at the standard of Memphis, and I'm not trying to get them an easy way out, but they, and no disrespect to them, maybe it's by default. Have you seen the AAC team's performance lately too?
Yes, it's awful.
Or American, whatever, new name. Yeah, so we're going to the tournament.
The American odds are regular season. Now, they don't have tournament yet, but regular season is South Florida plus 220. And then Memphis is second, plus 260 still. So
Hart said, give him Memphis.
He said he wants $5 billion. He said
not the regular season, the one to give you the automatic bid, the tournament.
He said he about to go take out a PPP loan for this.
Heard next year, I'm looking at the roster and I have the all care team. These are the guys that are going to give you the effort. It's going to be Curtis. It's going to be King Thetford. It's going to be Fred Smith. It's going to be Cello Jackson, and then son of Hardaway, Ashton Hardaway. Memphis basketball speeches will matter with those guys. And maybe in all seriousness, we've talked about this. That's the way you got to go, man, when you've got $4 to $5 million for the roster, right? And then you go and spend, you know, a million or two on a transfer, two, three. Maybe it is that fill in the spots, and maybe one of them is a leading scorer. But that's the core right there. Core is going to have to be Memphis going forward, Hurt. I'm calling it now. It's going to have Memphis flavor, more Memphis flavor, because they'll care.
They would definitely care, and I love that. The only problem is, I ain't going to say the only problem, I get a little nervous in this day and age thinking of next year because it's so many opportunities out there. It's kind of hard to say, you know, even people you think automatically coming back might not automatically come. And I'm not trying to wish anything. I'm just telling you, this is the nature of the game we are in right now that, yep. Like, we don't know how these people feel, like how the city, you know how like some of us feel right now about the team and disappointed. We don't know if one of them kids you name feel like that or they think this is the best. You just never know if somebody in their era, they got an age. It's so much right now, it's hard for me to plan or think that next year who's going, because college basketball have just changed. But I do get your point. If they all come back like they all should, now we have a core Memphis group, Memphis families. People know what Memphis basketball stand for, and I, like you say, and they do have a why for the city.
Yeah, absolutely.
Might feel that way.
No, I think like if you could hold on, you know, to a couple of those guys for next year, I do think it feels different. Like you're like, all right, I have a little bit of a baseline to, you know, build on, and I can just kind of, you know, go pick and choose in the portal as opposed to, you know, I believe the number that I saw, I did a little bit of very surface level research on this. 25 programs returned 0% of minutes from last year. Memphis obviously was one of them. I don't know. I didn't break down like how many of those teams had new coaches. You can always, you know, how many programs have a, you know, an eighth year returning coach who are returning 0 minutes? That's really the problem, right? So if Penny is able to, you know, survive this year basically with this team and get to the tournament and win the American, whatever, I think it's like it's really non-negotiable, Hurd. Like you gotta find, and he knows that challenge. I think he's talked about it, but you have to have some returners on this group because starting over is not tenable year after year. You just can't keep doing it and expect big time results.
No, you can't do it year after year, especially if you don't, you know, have the craziest bankroll. Now, I don't know if y'all remember this because I like to let the people know, like, sometimes we'll see some crimes in Memphis and be, oh, which Memphis is a crime city, but it's also stuff going on in New Orleans, Oakland. Everything is not just we live in it, but you remember last year, y'all, was a big story that Baylor had returned 0 players. Do y'all remember that last year? So it happens with, you know, even some of the best and elite coaches and programs, too. You just don't want it to happen, like you say, John.
Yeah.
Year after year, like get some time, you know, in between it. So, man, like I said, what day do they play Purdue again?
They play tomorrow. At 3 p.m.
Then they'll likely get Wake Forest in the consolation game.
Well, no. Well, what we got to do is get through with that game first before we say likely, right? So first they play Purdue, right?
I say likely, that's what gets me through that. See,
yeah,
I'm not calling it, but I'm saying it's likely.
Heard, like you do know you're talking to the host of Grizzbeat right now, right? Like he is a consummate professional.
I don't even think Heard knows what Grizzbeat is.
Well, no, I know that because every Wednesday, I don't got to know. You looking real nice.
There you go.
The glasses be clean. It's a different step on you on Wednesday.
It is.
And Grigsby brought that out of you, and they went and got a great guy. But with that being said, we still cannot say that they automatically go into the consolation bracket. Y'all, let's look at both brackets. It's a winner bracket and a consolation. So let's also say if they win, who do y'all think they're going to play? So because we want to know have both options for the people.
If Memphis wins, they will most likely, get Texas Tech. But see, Steve Forbes would say we'd be in disrespectful right now, the same way saying we're being disrespectful of Memphis. You know what I mean?
Now, on the series, guys, I'm going to say this. As good as Texas Tech is, and all bets off, I get the way how people feel about Purdue and how people feel about Purdue and Memphis. I don't know if it was the first game of the year and who they was playing, but Wake Forest was
Michigan.
Beating the breaks off of like some top 10 teams
Michigan,
at the time,
yeah.
most of the game. So, yeah. I think that game is actually a lot closer. Now, that is a little –
It'll be a game.
Wide open.
Yeah, it'll absolutely be a game. They were up on Michigan. That's who you're thinking of. Wake Forest was, and they had a tough one go against them there at the end. No, you're right. I mean, I think they could beat Texas Tech, but the Memphis will be an underdog to both teams. Either way. But to your point, heard about what Grigsby has done for Jason. I saw somebody post a video of Jason at the unction. Mm-hmm. They call it the unction, and it was like a bunch of dudes at half court, and like they were dressed to the nines.
Old dude dancing, dressed finely. That's what we do on Grigsby every Wednesday at 3 p.m.
The unction. The unction is crazy, bro. I can't believe that, but it was good. It was good stuff. Herd, man, we appreciate your dose of positivity and hope every week on the show.
We need it, Coach. Thank you.
All good. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Herd. It's Dorn Herd the Fourth, program director and coach of Team Thad.
Friend of Bill Self.
Very much so. Do you embrace the unk status?
I call Jarvis my uncle. So it kind of works,
right?
And we're in there having fun, like
yes,
bunch of uncles, like the family reunion.
What was
That's
that
what
video?
We do every week at 3.
What was that? Was it like just?
It was a halftime performance. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but teams are spending less on halftime performances.
What's the Grizz halftime shows looking like?
It's usually a basketball game of little boys.
Oh, okay.
Which you wouldn't have to pay for, would you?
I don't think so.
Right. So that's going to be a lot less, literally like zero, compared to what's our girl's name? She's kind of hitting the retirement.
Red Panda.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I will say, like, if I
but I think it's across the league, and these gentlemen
right.
That.
Yeah,
they're like the dancing. Just think about the
but,
dancing.
One thing I would say is that Grigsby is not your halftime entertainment, okay? We're here for a serious show at 3 o'clock on Wednesdays.
Very serious.
There's no doubt that
we ought to bring you on so Jaron can get it. Huh.
They
know
will,
what you'd say.
Will they let me say that on there?
Whatever. Yeah, Saints on there calling it like it is. So is Michael Wallace.
Okay.
Jarvis now has had to call it like it is. These folks have lost 9 of 10. Now Jarvis will be in the Bahamas today.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I knew, like when the Grizzlies season was over, I knew.
Dude, you thought Cedric Howard was gonna be sorry. So what do you mean you knew? Knew what?
I knew when Jarvis got on there and said that they were not gonna win a game in the preseason. How dire this was.
Yeah. I think he did say win their season opener though, which was New Orleans. So. But Jarvis did, yeah.
That was the first sign, man. That was the first sign of a crack in this team.
This is the different sort of season, no question about it. 4-11 is rough.
Yes.
Hard to stomach.
Because Jarvo is the most relentlessly positive person that you will ever meet.
Yep, Grizz season ticket holder.
Yes. Yep. And even
and
he said they would not win a game in the preseason.
Has been from the get-go.
That's tough.
Again, it's not us. It's what they're doing to us.
That's right. We have
so
to
that's
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.